Our scripture lesson today is from the book of Ephesians, one more time, chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in the supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of our mouths and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I don't know if many of you have ever heard a dialogue sermon before. Have you ever done one, Tanner?
Nope.
Okay, I've maybe done two in my whole career. It's just a different way of getting at scripture. And as Tanner and I met and talked about this scripture, we realized we really were coming from different places. So I hope this will be good for you. And if it is good, maybe we can do it some other times. This is the end of Paul's letter in Ephesians. And, you know, we've gone through this now for 5 weeks. And Ephesians is a letter that he is writing from prison. And he's writing it to a bunch of churches, all in Asia Minor, of which Ephesus was one. And the words that jump out to me at the beginning say, finally, be strong in the power of the Lord and the strength of his power. So being strong in the Lord, you know, for me, I always think of it as individual strength. But you can also look at it as corporate strength, as a church in the world. And so we're going to explore that, Tanner and I, today. So right now, I want to tell you the people I'm thinking about in my life that this applies to. I'll try to be real about it without being, you know, too personal. But, you know, I have somebody that's very dear to me who was diagnosed with cancer a year ago. And now, just this week, the tumors are starting to hurt. And the doctors have given him oxycontin, but he's, you know, nervous about taking it. What does the scripture have to say to him? I have friends who are grieving from a death that occurred, and you know, you go through, you know, and you know, just these dates, like, you know, holidays, Christmas, Thanksgiving that you remember doing together, then their birthday, then the anniversary of their death, and the pain sometimes comes back so intensely that they wonder if they've gotten any better at all in this amount of time. What does the scripture about putting on the whole armor of God have to say to them? You know, we've had people who've left their children at college in the last week, and that's a different way of living. They're worried about their kids. They're looking at their lives as new. Brothers and sisters are gone. What does the scripture say to them? And then all of us are dealing with COVID, and it seems to be just running away and changing the equations about meeting together in church, meeting together at schools and everything. What does the whole armor of God say to that? So what does the scripture about armor say to us personally? Tanner.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. As he said, as we were discussing this, we got together and we were looking at the passage together. We took notes separately. We read the piece independent of one another. And the first thing that came out to me from the text, and I had taken notes on this from a couple of sermons back, that the whole theme of the letter of Ephesians is that of unity, that there's discord and there's chaos going on in these churches of Asia Minor. And I got to looking at the way that the verbs are constructed in the text, and it's all second person plural. And I think Jim pointed this out the other week. It's written to you all, not to you individually, not to me individually. It can apply, right? And it made me think about the, you know, they're calling it the culture wars again in our contemporary American society. What does this say to us as Christians who are equally divided against one another? This admonition to be in unity, and it's not just abstract unity, it's unity in Jesus Christ. What does that mean to apply that richly to our lives? And I think as we explore this text a little more this morning, Jim and I really want to press you into considering, don't suffer alone, right? The church, the community of the church is one of the greatest gifts we have. And as we met to talk about this the other day, you know, Jim remarked, he said, you know, I wonder what people do who don't have a church family. Who brings them meals? How do they cope, right? And I think this letter to the Ephesians is a powerful example, and we lose it in our English translation, but an admonition to unity, and that is corporate unity. And so I want to raise the question, and I think Jim's right, we can think about this individually. How do I, as an individual, put on the full armor of God, whatever that may mean? But what does it mean for us as a corporate body, as a community of Christians, one faith, one baptism, to put on the full armor of God together to confront the evils of the world? So that's the question I want to put out there right now. And I want to, the word I seized on in this text is something I've repeated over and over right now, and that is put on, to dress oneself. The word in Greek is endousaste, to dress oneself.
That's my favorite Greek word.
Yeah, and you should have heard me try to pronounce that the other day when we were rehearsing this. It's an imperative, and it really is, y'all put on the armor. So what does it mean for us to put on the armor communally? What does it mean to speak the same gospel of peace? A story came to mind. I was thinking about people who don't dress well for the weather, and an episode came back to mind for me from December 1999. I was in high school, and a group of friends and I, we had planned this kayaking trip on the Chattooga River in upstate South Carolina. We loved to whitewater kayak, and we had said, we were kind of cheap. We got all of our gear at some garage sale, you know, at Clemson University or something. They were giving away their old stuff. We had our personal flotation devices, our helmets. We were safe, but we thought it would be a great idea to layer up in wool sweaters to go on this trip in the middle of December. And on the river, it was a pretty long kayak trip. The temperature began to fall, and no lie, there was ice on the river as we were canoeing. We had on these layers of old, you know, thrifted wool sweaters, and we were like, oh no, what are we gonna do? We thought we were well prepared. We came around a corner, and there was a group of backpackers who had a fire going over on a little beach, on a little sandbar. So we pulled over, and my friend Chad, this guy keeps showing up in my stories, I don't know, and he gets out of his boat, and his legs are so cold, he's just stiff, and he falls over flat on his face, and we're out in the middle of the Sumter National Forest, and we thought, oh my gosh, he's going to die of hypothermia out here. This is crazy. So we go up to this little fire, we warm up, and my friend Liam now lives in California. He was at the University of South Carolina at the time. He said, we did not dress well for this occasion. And that story came back to me as we navigate all of the cultural difficulties that we're navigating right now, that the author to the Ephesians says is cosmic. These are cosmic realities that we're dealing with. And I wonder, are Christians dressed well for the occasion? Are we as individuals, are we as a community, are we really dressed in righteousness, faith, truth, love, etc.? Jim, what do you think about that?
Well, you know, I love that idea about the you in Greek being you plural, because in English, you know, French has it, tu and vous. You have the singular you and the plural you, and in Greek it has it, and that's what this is. To the plural, and in English we don't have it, but in the South we do, because we have y'all, right? In fact, we have all y'all, which is all y'all. This whole passage for me, I find it talks about strength and about what could possibly keep you from being strong. Verse 12, our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the spiritual forces of evil. So there is a spiritual force out there trying to push against us, to hollow us out. And whether it is that you have a disease, or whether it is you have grief, or all those things I mentioned, don't be naive that the world is not neutral, that you're walking out and it's just up to you. There is a force trying to defeat you, and that's why this armor is necessary. Story I wanted to tell, we were going to do, you know, like personal stories. When I was in my first church, there was a guy named Philip who was in seminary. And like me, he had been a musician before he went to seminary, and he had played lots of bars and blues festivals. He was really, really good, but he had never played a Christian performance, and he'd written all these Christian songs about his faith, and he wanted to have an opportunity to show them off. And he was really popular in these bars in Atlanta and Athens. And so I said, okay, man, I'll set this up for you. And so I got called a few youth groups, and I got a church to host it, and got a nice PA system. And he brought a slideshow that he was going to press with his foot and make the slides come up while to the words he was doing. And he got up there, and there was about probably 150 high school kids, you know, a bunch of churches brought their youth groups, and he got up there, and I thought he did fine, but the slides got off, you know, at one point, and he forgot some words at one point, and then the microphone stopped working, and so he and I went to where all the musicians, if you're a musician, you know this, that after the show, you always go to Waffle House. That's what you do. You go to Waffle House, because it's open
all
night.
And when you kayak.
And so we went to Waffle House, and he's just despondent. He says, I don't get it. I can play in bars, and everybody loves me, and nothing goes wrong. And the first time I try to do it for the Lord, it just falls apart. What's the problem? And I said, okay, first, you know, you're playing to a totally sober crowd in a church, so that's one thing. But second, you raised your flag on the battlefield, and you said, I'm with God. And there is an opposition that is going to oppose you in that. And that's what I think we have to remember with this whole armor of God. It's not just a metaphor that Paul got carried away with and just started doing all these things. Well, might as well say the belt and the feet and the breastplate. No, he's saying you need these things in order to keep the evil in this world from hollowing you out. You need them. You need every piece of it. You need the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel, the shoes of peace, gospel of peace. The shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. That is what you need. And it takes all of us recognize it. It's not enough to just do one of these things. He said, you need the whole armor of God. You know, and so you need to avail yourself of everything possible to allow yourself to thrive and to make a testament to your faith. And to be able to not be hollowed out by the evil, but to overcome that. Back to you, Tanner.
Yeah, and I would just point out, too, I look at verse 11 from Ephesians 6. And I want to take the more communal look here. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word diabolos really means the divider, the one who would divide us from one another, and this armor keeps us together, right? It's the thing, as Shannon said, that protects the heart, that protects the head, right? That is actively engaged in this, and it's this. It's not an impersonal force. It gets translated as the devil, not really even a personal force. It's division, right? Cavities that form within the community, And I got to asking myself as I was looking at this, the sort of so what question. All right, Jim's already raised it. Well, so what? What does this mean for people who are really, truly suffering in ways that I can't imagine right now? And the antidote, the answer to the question is in verse 18. We become a community involved in action, confronting the dividing one, the devil, when we pray. Now, this may seem trite and naive, and I'm sure we do this a lot. We skip over the power of prayer, but indeed, this is where the passage ends. It's the great practical advice. And let me translate verse 18 literally. Through all prayer and praying in every season in the Spirit, and unto this very thing watching with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, that's very confusing. What does the translation actually say, though, when we put it in regular English? Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in prayer for all the saints. That is, for one another, you see. Karl Barth, a Reformed pastor and theologian from the 20th century, he had this to say. He said, in prayer, the church is given the freedom to ask God, what are we here to do? What do we do, O Lord? And it also gives us, in the act of prayer, the openness to receive the guidance of the Holy Spirit. In prayer, the church calls on God to mark its way. It calls on God to continue its story and to deliver it from evil. So, if we take this advice from the letter of Ephesians seriously, it's corporate prayer, praying for one another, whether we agree with them or not, but in their suffering, it helps us stand against the straight line winds of the world. So, Ephesians is an invitation to pray as a community. And I would end with my thoughts on this. Join the church. I said this early. Join the body. Show up, right? I know this is difficult right now, but show up, right? This is a word to me as well. Don't try to withstand the suffering and the evil of the world alone. Show up. Be together. Pray for one another. Jim?
Yeah, and just so you know, Tanner and I both have, we're watching this clock right here, so we can't get too far out of hand time-wise. Right. We're also on the radio, so we can't. I was going to go that way too. Just summing up, you may think your struggle is with your situation, and of course it is part of that, but what you're worried about or what's painful for you, but it is more than that. There's a force trying to hollow you out, to gut you of your joy and your peace with God. So don't be naive. You need to do something to push back. I would absolutely say, come be at church, especially if you people who are in the Laurinburg area listening on WLNC, and you listen to Trinity every Sunday, and yeah, it's easy just to be there and have a cup of coffee in your living room in your pajamas, but come to church. And some of you can't because of medical stuff, I understand, but come. Be part of this body. I think of some other things. It says the whole armor. So avail yourself of every opportunity. Come to the Bible study. Come to the Bible study. We have a lot of Scotia people and a few Trinity people. Let's have a lot of Trinity people, too, come to that. If you are wanting to proclaim the gospel, it may be that you're shy and don't want to just, like, say it. You know, you can be a part of a team here putting on worship. You can be part of choir. Choir, we sing our faith. But you need an outlet for your faith to be able to push against this force that's trying to hollow you out too. All that's about. I want to close with a quote from a friend of mine who died. His name was Lane Alderman, and he and I went to Wake Forest together and Columbia Seminary together. And he was pastor of three fairly large churches in Atlanta. And finally, he had to resign because his cancer had gotten to the point that he couldn't work anymore. And so this is from his last letter to the congregation, and it's very poignant. He says, "We live in a broken world, and cancer is one of the thousands of manifestations of that brokenness. We're struggling with the world, we're struggling with the evil of cancer, but I'm keenly aware of millions of people around the world struggling with the world's brokenness in so many different ways. Many of you are dealing with the world's hurt in your own particular ways. God in his wisdom allows us to live in this broken world. But the good news is that one day God will be victorious over that brokenness once and for all. And he wrote this in February. He says, "We are in the season of Lent, and the empty tomb which stands at the end of the season is the assurance we have of the ultimate victory which is yet to come. It is in the promise and hope of that victory that we live through these days." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray.